Halacha, hashkafa,
everything.
You name it.
Anything.
Here's your chance. Go ahead.
Any and Israel.
Politics.
It's related to Pesach.
I do make
you can't
take
a Pesach directly.
Spacious pronoun.
Good.
Okay. Don't be shy.
Yes. We have a shiur Wednesday night, and Rabbi Roth brought up this question that you can figure out. That if you have, let's say, wheat flour mixed into a little bit of corn flour, says a lot of stuff like that's what's called the rule. But
so theoretically, you could use
it on
Pesach, but
when you make a
bracha
on it, you're still making
mizonos.
So obviously, it's still the ikar, and you make
the
mizonos, yet you're still about to have it on
Pesach. The majority of corn flour.
Yeah.
The question is, if you have a lot of corn flour and some wheat flour, so in terms of bracha.
Yes, it's awesome. Oh, you mean not mizah?
Yeah. No. Okay. So.
What is the major part?
So it's majority is wheat.
So
you make a bracha mizonos. Now, in terms of Pesach, if it's a majority wheat and a little bit of corn, can you use it?
No, you cannot use it. Even if there is shishim, you cannot use it. You have to learn.
They say it's a
majority
potato starch.
It's a little
bit of wheat flour. So you have
to have a mizonos on it, but you still
be able to eat it on Pesach.
That's what's wrong with potato starch. That's wrong with potatoes.
What's the problem with potato starch?
No. Sorry.
The stage house is all right.
No problem.
Good.
I'm going to be eating Pesach Seder at a friend who is Spartan. So they have kidney oats. Am I allowed to, since I'm Ashkenazi, eat at the Seder?
What?
She's invited to somebody's Seder who's a Sparty. So they're going to be serving kidney oats.
Right.
She's so Ashkenazi.
Let them eat, and she shouldn't eat it.
But
and the fact that you're the same children doesn't matter.
Really?
The gaining the Natasha Tam Kika in regard to kidneys. Only the kidneys itself.
So she should not eat any kidneys?
That's right.
But,
she can eat anything else.
Eat anything else.
Even though they are cooked together.
Okay. Right.
Same thing,
Haggadah, that God took us out of
Mitzrayim,
lo
alidei
malach, lo
alidei sarach. What? So the Haggadah says that Hashem took us out, lo alidei malach, lo alidei sarach.
Yeah.
But
we see that.
Shliach,
la
kol bochui vach.
Sorry?
Yeah, lo alidei shliach,
la kol shvach vach. Bochui vach. Shem ha-vach, la yuhel ha-seh.
The
kish kol pri vach v'shayim, vod vach beimu. Ani v'li malach, ani v'li sarach, ani v'li shliach, ani hu v'li vach.
We could say that that all the Makos and even Moshe Rabbeinu were used as shlichim to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim.
He was a shliach to me.
He was a shliach, and you could even say
the
Makos were.
He was, of course, anything that happens in the world, he's through a medium. But it's not there are two kinds of shluchim. There is one kind of a shliach, who the shliach does the maise, like when a baal appoints a shliach leiloch. So then the shliach delivers the get to the isho, and it's considered as if the get had been delivered by the baal. But then there's another kind of shliach, that it's not the maise is done to the shliach, but the shliach is like an extension of the like chotza. Chotza sometimes tells us, I mean, can you equate the shlichas of chotza? The shlichas chotza is a gavre, it's a chefze, but it's an extension of the yad. So here it was like chotza. It was an extension of the yad v'akadosh baruch hu, the figurative hand of v'akadosh baruch hu.
Does that mean that the actual, in order not to be Roy Lachilas Kelev anymore, does it have to be as a substance actually growing?
What?
To the point that it's not edible, or does it mean it's mixed with something?
What?
Okay, she wants to know, how do we determine when something is not Roy Lachilas Kelev? Does it mean to say that
you
it's spoiled?
Give it to Kelev. Or you can give it to any other animal. Wise Caleb mentioned, Caleb is the kind of an animal that eats everything. A cat doesn't eat everything. A goat also is special in the fact that it can eat paper, plastic. A caliph couldn't eat paper. So if something is eligible for a caliph, but is not eligible for a caliph, but is eligible for a goat, so it's considered chomet. And you say,
so also another question was, what if you add, what if it didn't spoil to the point where it's nifsal me'achilas kelev? What if you put something in it to make it nifsal me'achilas kelev?
Because of the additional ingredient, so then it becomes rol achilas kelev. So it's still considered the ene rol achilas kelev, as long as the matzah per se is ene rol achilas kelev.
And what if the chametz itself is roi, but you put something in and make it not roi? Is that your question?
So of course, yeah, I love it.
Originally,
Rabbi
the selling of the chametz was I'm not sure if the facts are correct, but originally they were made because the farmers in Israel would lose a lot of money, so they made this decree.
What difference did it make the motive for the farmer?
Well, because today, when we sell the chametz, a lot of people, like households that sell the chametz, are not really, we know that we're going to be buying
the
it
back. The fact that it's sold does not affect the Yisrael Bali Goy Bali Motzi, only Ligabe ownership, but not Ligabe Anoi, and not Ligabe Achille.
No, but I'm saying, like, because we know today that we're selling, but we know we're going to be buying it back, so how is that really a real...
So the question is, why is it really a kinyan, a mecher, if you know when you give it to the guy you're going to be buying it back, and he knows you're going to be buying it back from him?
But because even though it's arame, but it's not, you know, you have avoiding a tax, income tax, and evading. Evading the income tax is a felony. Avoiding, that's the characteristic of every successful lawyer. The more you avoid millions of dollars, the more successful you are. You can become a candidate for Supreme Court Justice of the United States.
Yeah, but if the whole purpose is to evade, not to avoid.
No, avoid, not. Evade means in an illegal way. Here it's illegal way.
Oh, okay. But isn't the whole point really to make us feel that we're getting rid of chametz and to get us into the
whole
process?
It certainly makes us feel that way. As a matter of fact, if he tells the guy after Pesach, you give me $100,000, so you keep it. So he'll be very happy. Maybe the guy will not be happy, but he'll be happy.
What are you supposed to do if you have an irreligious relative who wants to come for one seder and then leave?
If you have a relative that's not Shomer Mitzvah, so he's going to drive to the Seder, he wants to come for the Seder, then he's going to leave. Can you invite
him? Don't invite him, unless you are pretty sure that you'll be able to mashpia upon him to become a Baal Tshuva, then it's a Mitzvah to invite him.
If he invites himself, you have to say, don't come.
What if he calls you up and says, I'm coming to the Seder on his own?
Again, the same consideration. If you think that he might become a Baal Tshuva, it's a mitzvah to invite him. If you are sure not, then it's osa yam seyei d'vavir.
And if he calls you, you should tell him you can't come.
That's right.
But what happens if he says he wants to come? Maybe it's possible that he's looking, because otherwise, why would he want to come?
That's right. It's a whole, it's only l'dvar Hashem.
Tell me l'dvar Hashem. So he's thirsty for us. So then if someone called and they said they were interested in coming to the Seder, so then if they called...
That's what Lubavitch has doing.
Yeah, but they call people, no? Okay. Question?
You know, to be suspicious, is that the idea? That if a person is calling for it, they want to come to the Seder, so we're assuming that they're doing it for the right motivation?
That's right.
And you don't have to be suspicious, in other words.
Yes. If he didn't have the right motivation, he would call up in Bolden.
Call what?
A ball game.
I'll call a ball game.
I see, that's an issue. The mere fact that he shows interest in attending a Seder shows that there's a possibility of Kira.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have one more question. You know in the part of the Haggadah where it says, come everybody, let's come and sit, my house is open to you, everybody should come in? Why are we really saying that? Because my, you know, the doors are not really open.
That Lashon was coined in Italy. In Italy, you know, during the Renaissance period. So when the Jew, the host announced, Kol Lichvin Yesiv Yechel. So all the going came. All the going, and why? They were hungry. They wanted to. So first he gave them the Knedlach, all the meals. Then when they finished, so he then said, Kol Lichvich. That means the Jew, who is interested primarily in the Agode, not in the Kinglach. It should be Laleket mentions it.
So the question is, Bizman is there. When we say it, the question is, the doors are really locked.
We're not really invited.
No one will come.
Right.
Jews won't come either.
Why are we saying it then?
So why are we saying it? No, so the question is, so
will we invite them to show our goodwill? But of course it has to be supplemented by telephone calls.
Right. So really we're just saying it, but we should have done it beforehand.
That's right. Okay. Well,
okay.
No more questions.
Yeah,
when we break the matzah, the middle matzah for Yachad,
matzah
is that for lechem boni?
Lechem
boni. We already have lechem boni. Matzah is lechem
boni.
So
lechem, of course, it's lechem.
No.
It's lechem boni because it's not so delicious. And it's lechem boni because it was done by the Israelites in Mitzrayim who are afflicted with pain and poverty and suffering.
So her question is, why do you have to break it to make it lechem oni? Matz itself is lechem oni. Why do you have to break it?
That's the question.
Because an osher doesn't break. He eats a whole piece of matz. And an oni, he doesn't have any money. He has to break and eat every piece and piece separately.
If you have something
that has one ingredient
in it that's
oilachilas
color, but the whole thing together, you know,
like
you have the shampoo, but one ingredient
is
just look at the ingredient and
you
look at the whole
product. What? If a person has a shampoo, and in the shampoo there's wheat, so the wheat by itself could be oilachilas color, but once it's in the shampoo, no one would eat it, even a dog. So is that a problem?
Why read it?
Okay. Is in going through the Haggadah, should one just read the Haggadah or discuss the ideas and not read it?
Discuss the idea too.
And what if one discusses the ideas and doesn't read it? What if summarize? Yes, so he has to read it.
That's right.
And then he should also,
even if he celebrates the Pesach by himself, he has to read it and explain it in the form of questions and answers, like a review book, you know.
Even if you write yourself, you shouldn't.
Why?
Yeah.
No. I mean, why? The whole point is to tell the story over, or to tell ideas of the story. Why does it have to be in a format, especially if you're by yourself?
So the question is, why, if someone is by themselves, do they have to have a discussion with question and answer?
Because if you say it in the form of questions and answer, then it becomes clear in your mind. Why do they publish review books? Because then it becomes clarified. You know, is El Chochem Harim Glodom. So you have to be laymate from yourself too. You know, when I ask, I'm like a Talmud. When I answer, I'm like a Rebbe. So the same I, after I answer, is learned from my heretofore Talmud, who knew less than I know.
Would you say then that it's better to, you know, lots of children come to the Seder now and they know the Manus Tanah and they know all the answers and they just...
Okay, so Aful Chachom, Dir Chachom, so they certainly know the answer. And still it becomes more clarified in their mind.
So should one not teach, you know, their children all these different things beforehand so they know, like, at the time of the Seder they're learning it?
And
what happens is they teach the children a week before Pesach all the questions and all the answer. So when it comes to the Seder, there's nothing new.
Well, are they big up team than Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Calvin?
Yeah, but in general, for a little child, you get the impression from the Gemara that
it arouses his curiosity so that he won't fall asleep. He's expecting something sublime.
But the assumption is that there was a point where there's a child who doesn't know anything about it, and he comes to the Seder and it arouses his curiosity, and he's going to ask out of curiosity.
That's good.
But here the children are prepared in advance, so
That's good. Even if the curiosity is aroused because of nuts, as long as he doesn't fall asleep.
Okay, so if a person has a Seder and they have their children there, but then they have older people from the family, so sure. They start getting into discussion with the older people, the children, they lose the interest. So what should they worry about more?
Somebody else should discuss it with the children. He has his son, or the mother should discuss it with the children. Division of labor, you know.
Okay, how should a person fulfill the halacha that a person should look at themselves as if they got out of Mitzrayim? How should a person accomplish that?
He should see himself Mitzrayim.
But how does one do that? She's asking how.
No, it's not that he should transform himself into a schizophrenic. He should realize that it says, V'ilulay sonakrish boch Mitzrayim ha'inu anachnu v'neinu nevonim shibonim. What is it? He has to transform himself into his schizophrenia and think, I was Mitzrayim. That's crazy. But he doesn't say, Avodim, you know, Mitzrayim, Bifari. But Mishubodim means indebted. You see, today everybody thinks that modern times there is a civilized society. President Clinton is much more civilized than Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a barbarian. He said, Kolabenai, but to a certain extent it's true, he is a barbarian. But in another sense, it's not true. Because Paray was, from a certain perspective, a big liberal. He says, every daughter. So, has the same rights as an Egyptian girl. But in regard to his son, he had a pnea. He was afraid, because in a dream he beheld that one son, which had referenced Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to overthrow his power and throw everybody into the Yamsun, into Red Sea. But to the extent that he had no nikkia, so he's more liberal than President Clinton. He should board him, not avoid him. Indebted.
What's the difference between the mitzvah of saying, mentioning
Zechariah Tzitzrayim
every day and on
Kavanah? Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, can I have it? I expected it. Perek Zayin Milches Chomesh Matzalocha Mitzvah Shel Teiro Misapir Benitzim Mufloiz Shenasul Avisinu Mitzrayim Leil Chamesh Osor Benitzim Shenem Azocha Shemashal Vekach מנין שבכל שבלו חמישו עושו תמלים אבי גזו לבינכו ואימא, אויה, שויסס כמו שנמה, צוח אז ישב של קאצ' פתחת דרמבה מספטיס פיידים פרג'ורי he wants to show that he knows the פסוקים the Torah. Everybody knows that there is a פוסיק זוכר שם עשה שתו של מצרים and there is a פוסיק זוכר The answer is, there are two kinds of schiras. There is one kind of schira, like kriyashma. So, parshvayina. So you have to, the Mora says, that the mitzvah midraisa is not dafke to mention vayena. The mitzvah midraisa of mentioning v'yashma Yisrael v'afto and vayena is a mitzvah to quote them verbatim. For the mitzvah midraisa level of vayena is to quote any posik that mentions Yisrael. Let's say if you mention Keil Mitzir Mitzrayim, Parsha Mishkoles, Yamekayim Gerais, then there is another mitzvah that the mitzvah consists in discussing it at length, like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Melech Hasmosa. So you have to give a whole Musar Shmules, Afil Kulon Chachom, Kulon Nevenim, but and Hosh Shmules. Then on the other hand, there is a mitzvah like Zohar Shah Sohar Molik Badeach Mitzrayim. So the mitzvah does not consider in giving a Musa Shmuel and Amalek, but in quoting the pasuk. So the Rambam says that Tzipresis Mitzrayim is like Shabbos, not like Zohar Shah Sohar Molik.
What? She wants to understand what is the difference in the two mitzvahs. Why are there two mitzvahs? If both mitzvahs, the purpose of the mitzvah is to remember the idea that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim.
That's the main purpose. Not just to remember Pesukim, so be Ibaki, so what? Goyim are also Pesukim.
Why the whole mitzvah of the Higadot HaRavincha is attached to the story of Pesach instead of to the story of Matan Torah and the fountain Hashem gave us the Torah?
What?
Question, why is the Higadot HaRavincha connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim and not Matan Torah?
Because the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to receive the Torah at Mount Sinai. I mean, that's the purpose. That's safe masse, machshav etchilo. That's why Chazal say there is a linkage between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shavuos of 49 days to inform ourselves that the main purpose is not physical and political freedom, but spiritual and moral freedom. A political freedom is important as a means towards the end, and spiritual and moral freedom is the end itself.
So her question is, so why isn't there a mitzvah of telling your children about the events that took place on Har Sinai? Instead of the Yigad HaLevincha Be'yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the means, because there should be a mitzvah to tell your children what happened in Har Sinai.
That is included. Matan Torah is included. It's without a limit, Matan Torah. Yitzias Mitzrayim has a limit. But Matan Torah, Rechavam is first made, is unlimited. That's what the Chavis HaLevi says in the Agudah.
The purpose of,
if you're saying that the political freedom is not the end
of
spiritual freedom, then why do we say
Dayenu? So her question is, why do we say
Dayenu? Because that in itself is also something. How about the secular Zionism? They have no concept of Matan Torah, but a Jewish state is also important. If we had a Jewish state before the Holocaust, so 7.5 million Jews would have been spared. It's true that the main thing is to be an Am Kodesh, but without political independence, when the Goyim are Gezer, all kinds of Zeras, it's impossible even to strive towards independence.
there's differences of opinion of whether you should say Chagadia and all the different songs of the different.
Well, that's what you mean. To allow the curiosity of children. And only by song, you know. Tachas ha krisi medes di. Rak.
If there's no children at the table.
So she wants to know, should she sing Chargadja if there's no children?
Not only Chargadja, no children.
Any.
You consider yourself as a child?
Wait. So in the Chargadja.
I consider myself as a child.
So only if we consider ourselves children, then we should sing?
Everybody should consider
themselves children.
Tinah Yisrael, I mean.
So then we should all sing.
Because Yisrael is also like a child. In the eyes of the Almighty.
Okay.
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 Doesn't have to be on Pesach. You can ask general questions too.
Yeah.
Ask a halacha, hashkafa, Israel, politics. Go ahead.
I had a question on the destruction of Amalek. If Amalek is not a genealogical nation, but just any nation that wants to destroy the Jews, how can one ever
do? Had a reason.
What?
Had a reason. Justifiable reason, not justifiable. Amalek had no reason whatsoever. The Jewish people did not intend to trespass on his land. His land was already away from the route towards the promised land. And because he wanted to uproot the Am Kodesh, like Hitler, he must have. And Amalek, the mitzvah that Rambam says, is only if pokarity, only if Inovi comes and tells us to wage a war against Amalek. Now there is an essential difference between the term Zochea and the term Pokate. Zochea means I remember a past event. Pokate means I take notice of the past event and I consider the behavior of the contemporary Amalek, like the Germans, the modern Germans, who are the descendants of the ancient Teutonic barbarians. So, and I see that they are the same. And if Novi tells us, because if there is no Novi, how can you know that his mommy is the same? Maybe there's a little difference. Maybe the present Amalek is a little better. But if Novi tells us, then we are know they are the same. So then we are machuif to wage a war against Amalek.
And once Amalek is destroyed, that kind of hatred will never happen.
Of course, if he's destroyed, he's destroyed. He doesn't have to be destroyed completely. He has to be wiped out as a nation. But suppose he's wiped out as a nation, but there are 10,000 Amalekim in South America, 10,000 in Europe, 10,000 in Siberia, 10,000 in Australia. There is no mitzvah to wage a war against Amalek.
And Amalek, and how
to say
Amalek, because
when
you remember Amalek, it's difficult to...
What?
The question is how, on the one hand, you're supposed to remember what Amalek did, on the other hand, you're supposed to wipe out the memory of Amalek, so it seems
okay.
to be a contradiction.
We have to wipe out the Maisim Roim of Amalek. Amalek use, not Amalek. If the Amalekim are Mekabu, Zayim Zim and Neach, even if they do it Machmas Yireh, because they want to spare the lives, so then one is allowed to kill them. And if we kill them, we are Eivan Lishirsa. Now there is a very thing that we have to understand. Sholanovi told Amalek, Meil Vadienich, and Sholamelech Darshint Ikalachema. In Gdelim Chotum Tan Machotum. Now, Sholamelech was not Chassid Sholem, a reform rabbi, but he had a Lomdish reason, because Eschatoim Asher Amalek, but not the Tzadikim Ibn Yamikabel Machmasire, so Mele, why should we kill the Ktanim? And even though Sholamelech knew very well that Shmuel HaNovi was not Chassid Sholem in Novi HaSheker, but there is a Loch Eloi B'Shemayimi. So as Rabbi Yeshua said, a Mashgich Mibasko, some Mele not Mechuyev to listen to Novi when he's Machia in Gnatir, even if he's Machia Kedim. So, but still, the Ligabi Ektanim, he listened. Why didn't he listen Ligabi Akok? It's like as if the judges in Nuremberg trials would kill every Nazi who was forced to kill Jews and to push them into Auschwitz and Treblinka extermination camps and leave Hitler. The answer is because Hitler accepted, in order to save his life, the Zionist Zionist. So Mele is not the Chalachatoy. So what was the mistake of Shaul if Lui was right? The answer is the Radak mentioned at the end of Parshas Hazini, Vinikesi, Domum Loi Nikesi. So the Mele says, Al Kol Averes Shesini Yisrael, Esim Li Yisrael, Al Sheinsu Es Nishiseyem, Ves Nishiseyem, Vigozlu Es Boteyem, Es Odiseyem, Vikameyem, Im, Heimoisim Tshuve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mechaprem, Chutz, Im, Hog, Yehudim, Machmashim Yehudim. No, sometimes a Sheni Yisrael kills a Jew because he imagines that he's persecuting. So if he had imagined the same thing against the German, he would also do it. But here, no, they didn't kill the Germans. They killed after the Jews who contributed to the medical technology and medical progress. Let's say a Jew invented a cure against tuberculosis. A Jew, Ehrlich, invented a cure against syphilis. So Dafke then they killed. So there is no mechile. Achutz im hogwes asma. They killed themselves. That we see in the Gemara, in Abizore, that when Rav Chanina ben Tahadin was put to be hanged, to be crucified, so the Roman government official said to him, retract. So he said, I cannot retract. But then he told the Italian, the executioner, to put the fire in his mouth. Yotze basko v'yomo chanine ben tradi mizum el chayil mabo. Okay.
Why is it necessary to kill the Ketanim of Amalek? Because you can still destroy a nation and maybe relocate the children.
Why do you have to kill the children in Amalek? Maybe if you kill the adults, the children will...
Because only if the Novi B'Shem Hashem says that there is an exact equation between the deeds of the ancient Amalek, of the Teutonic barbarians, and the present barbarians, the modern civilized Germans.
But why even then did you kill the Ketanim? Why did you let
the Ketanim? The Rebbeinu knows that without killing them, so the world will never, the human race will never reach its goal. It'll remain in the jungle throughout the years.
Is that a cultural? In other words, why can't these children be taught from a young age?
What?
The question is, why couldn't the children be taught to be different than the parents. That's her question.
How could you teach barbarians? Can you teach a gorilla?
Well, what about
the A human being has prerachafis. But the prerachafis involves even the freedom to suppress every vestige of the Salam Aleichem inherent in people. You see, even the Jews, so where the Jews, because of their race and conscience, are disposed towards kindness and compassion and respect for every human being. Now, the Ramban asks, and the Parsha Akide, why did the Rebbeinu Shlom have to expose Avraham Avinu to so much torture? Doesn't the Rebbeinu Shlom, who is omniscient, know that Avraham Avinu was able to overcome that supreme sacrifice? So Ramban gives the answer. Of course the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to know, but the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to know that Avraham Avinu should know. As a young lad, he was ready to let Nimri the Rosho throw him into the hot, fiery furnace. But there is a bigger sacrifice, to slaughter Al Kiddush Hashem, the own child whom he loves more than himself. So that Avraham Avinu found out, Mele, he raised his children, his grandchildren, Asif Kladiris, that they should be ready to allow themselves to slaughter their children, Al Kiddush Hashem. There was a big natural scientist in the middle of the 19th century by the name of Joseph Lamarck. Joseph Lamarck conceived the concept that if a certain person in one generation habituates himself to violence, homosexuality, drug addiction, so in the course of one generation, the children born to him so will be disposed to drug addiction, to violence, to vengeance, to bloodshed, and inversely, in a favorable way, if a person habituates himself to kindness and compassion and respect, so then in one generation, the children born to him will be disposed. But that's not true if it's done in one generation. But if it's done in the course of millennia, then it becomes incorporated into the genes of that person.
The halachos of a Rebbe and a Talmud, in terms of a kavod and visiting the Rebbe and a regel, apply to a girl that has a Rebbe.
And of course, you see from the Shunamit, she was a woman. The Chedesh, the Shabbos,
I think. Yes,
you're right.
Shunamis.
The Nishei Chabad have a separate table, you know, to hear the Rebbe Shmuel.
They still do.
Except there's no Rebbe.
They think of it.
There are many Rebbe. Whitman never.
Questions? Any topic, yes.
Why does it mention that Ahasuerus made a tax in the last parak?
Very good question. I hope somebody will ask. What's your name?
What's your name?
Jesse Fishbein.
Fishbein.
No, Jesse Fishbein.
Fishbein. She lives here.
In Faraka, right? Not far.
But a Friedman, you have to find the new Yochus.
I found
she's,
actually.
She's an unusual girl.
I taught her chassan.
Okay, I'll tell you a very good question. Because how was Haman HaRosho, or was he fool, able to convince Ahasuerus, who a woman says is Bekeach, one says is Tipish, but how could there be Machleges Emissias in regard to Edin? So, Elu Velu Divrei Kimchai. But the Emissias, here the Emissias is one way, or the Mitzvah that way. The answer is, it's two edges of the same knife with the same sword. On one end, he was a big pekeach. He was able to consolidate so many nations, Mehidu Vatkush. On the other end, he was the biggest tipish in the world, conceivable. To think him for one moment that the barber, the mishugana, the madman, a homon who is like Hitler, so could solve the economic problems. Ashur had a big problem. They can't cover the economy of the needs of a nation to give for war and to help out hospitals, sick people, retarded, handicapped children. So he hoped the Tipesh and the Pekeach that by appointing Haman as Prime Minister will do it. But that failed. What was Mordechai's answer was just the other extreme. All people are equal. The servants, the IAM, even the civilized British government treated them like servants, but have to be treated and be granted the same civil rights as the citizens. There is no citizen and the servant. All of them are servants, like in the United States of America. That was the greatest thing that Mordechai did.
So what was the tax? What was Ahasuerus' tax? So what was the idea that Ahasuerus put a tax at the end? It says Ahasuerus put a tax.
We have enough money to fill up the revenue.
That was the only real solution.
That's right. I wish President Clinton could do that. Instead of spending millions of dollars to be given to the Goshe Merushe, Yasser Arafat, and the Hamas terrorists. And President Clinton gave the green light to King Hussein to mobilize the soldiers against Israel, and they threw a bomb in Tel Aviv which killed six girls from a religious school. Then he said he didn't know that they were insane. They were insane. If he didn't know they were insane, he should have put in an insane asylum. So that means that King Hussein is a typish British, not a typish enemy. Clinton is both, but he is just a typish, pure and simple expression. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
want to stop?
Yeah. There are no more questions.
Go ahead.
Nice
shot.
It says that rogue Yehudim liked Mordechai, and were happy with Mordechai, but Rashi says that some people were unhappy because he was being a Baal Torah. So what was Mordechai doing the right thing and some were doing it wrong?
Wow. Yes, it says that Mordechai was liked by rogue Yehudim.
Why? Because mute Yehudim were perished from.
Right.
Because he wasn't able to study Torah and be Mavis Torah. All right, but they made a mistake.
They made a mistake.
Yeah.
He was right.
Pomin she bitulo he kiyuma. You always have times. Even the whole time, though, there are many Jews who complain against him. They said, he's a short guy. That's what goes on. He's half of a bottle.
Given that today in Israel it doesn't seem like the Talmidei Chachamim are trying to be involved in the government, but it would seem that Mordechai made the right decision not to be involved in learning but to be involved in the government.
So the question is, why, if Mordechai was willing to be Mevatel Torah to help Klal Yisrael, so what about today in Eretz Yisrael? How come a lot of the people, the Chachamim, put their heads in the sand and they don't get involved in trying to help the government?
They're making a big mistake. Big mistake. Like poverty, ill health, strokes, heart disease, insects, diabetes, and then there is spiritual and moral, like theft, bloodshed, vengeance, Echel Shabbos, Echel London. And then there are two kinds of good things, physical goods, like prosperity, nachas from children, good health, the long span of life. And then there is a fatal spiritual and moral good, like nachas and so on. So Sfarah is a state is concerned, so only ethical and moral and spiritual is not a treat, because Hakir B'Yashamayim, Chus B'Yashamayim, Israel, Ezim is concerned, not only spiritual and moral and ethical evil is not a treat, but even physical evil is not a treat. But how is it that certain people, Jews or non-Jews, die at the age of 20, and some children die at the age of 2? The answer is, and eventually, a figurative way is Messiah Das, of a certain thing. That's how the Chumbay Swishin took it. That's how the Chumbay Shana took it. And that's how the Holocaust did. Because the Rabbi Nishon realized that the whole world, even the democratic world, is running the ship. So the Rabbi Nishon was figuratively Messiah Das and had the Rabbi Nishon in Messiah Das for a longer time. Then the whole world would have reverted to Turing Ball. But then the Rabbi Nishon took on this effect that even the state of Israel founded, even though at the very outset, Ben Gurion will be driving the real rest of Israel. But in the end, it's destined that the leader Atlak Jews will become the money. Now, I mentioned to Rabbi Friedman that on television I heard a few days ago that they found on the night of Shabbos Parsha Zohar in Kora Adim in Kvachasi, it's a beautiful thing, and the Rabbonim Rabbi Lowy and other Rabbonim inspected the Kora Adim, they found 2 hairs and no black hair, 6 months old, so it's still not eligible for the safer support. But another year and a half is legible. And by that time, hopefully, Moshiach will come. Okay?